From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Tens of thousands of people protested in Verona, Italy over the weekend against the reactionary politics of a gathering of groups called the World Congress of Families. The conference drew a conglomeration of people whose homophobic and misogynist views have drawn the ire of Europeans. Well, a new study published last week by the group Open Democracy has traced how the right-wing Christian fundamentalists in the United States have poured millions of dollars into reactionary movements in Europe. Groups like Billy Graham's Evangelistic Association, American Center for Law and Justice, and Alliance Defending Freedom have sent more than $50 million over the last 10 years to fuel the kinds of trends on display at the World Congress of Families in Verona. Well, we go now to Verona to speak with Nandini Archer, editorial assistant with Open Democracy. She works with the International Campaign for Women's Right to Safe Abortion. She's also an active member of the feminist direct action group Sisters Uncut. Welcome to the program, Nandini.
Thank you. Hi there, Sonali.
So first, tell us exactly what took place in Verona, Italy. I see reports that there was something like 20,000 people protesting on the outside of this conference of the World Congress of Families. What is the World Congress of Families, and what kinds of things were they talking about?
Yeah, so the World Congress of Families is a kind of global network of US, Russian, and other ultra-conservative activists. They met in Verona over the weekend on Saturday and Sunday. And it includes a kind of range of far-right politicians increasingly, especially from Europe, kind of ultra-conservative groups. And the things they speak about are basically very explicitly rolling back women's and LGBT rights, abortion rights, and they strategize around how to impact on laws and policies in different countries. So the really exciting thing this year, I think, basically the World Congress of Families happens every year. This year it was held in Italy, last year it was in Moldova, the year before that in Hungary. But the really exciting thing this year was the opposition to it, the fact that there were tens of thousands of protesters, as you say, that stood outside and protested this kind of convening of hate, as the protesters called it. Obviously, Verona is known internationally as the kind of city of love, Romeo and Juliet. And many of the protesters were trying to speak out and say, no, we don't want this kind of hate group here. We want to kind of celebrate family. Really exciting. And I think the other really important thing was that there was international solidarity there. So activists came from the UK, Ireland, Netherlands, Switzerland, as far as Argentina, Uganda, a very young, diverse group of feminists coming and protesting in the streets. And many of the people in Verona that I spoke to said that this was kind of unprecedented. This type of, this size of protest was very rare for Verona, which is actually a very small city.
So we have seen an increase in the rightward trend in Europe, going somewhat parallel to that in the United States. Here we have sort of culminated or seeing a culmination of that in the Trump presidency in Europe. You've seen various elections lead to the rise of right-wing leaders. Is the phenomenon that was on display at the World Congress of Families, at least the gathering itself and the kinds of reactionary rhetoric they espoused, is that a new thing, relatively speaking, for Europe? Or has that always been there, but is now kind of seeing a resurgence?
I think it's a bit of both. I mean, it's wrong to say that kind of this, racism, xenophobia, sexism, misogyny is a new thing. Obviously, it's always existed. But I think that the phenomenon of the Christian right fundamentalists, which has kind of been very prevalent in America and the US, is kind of growing in the UK and Europe more widely. I think that kind of opposition to abortion, sex education, same-sex marriage, this is definitely becoming more and more prevalent in Europe, yes. So it is growing, and that's what we've seen in the World Congress of Families, and that's what we've seen in our research. It's like in the past 5 years or so, more and more far-right politicians are attending these kind of gatherings, and there does feel like there's this new linkages being made between the far-right and ultra-conservative kind of religious Catholic activists.
Let's talk about the report that your organization put out, Open Democracy put out. It's called Revealed: Trump Linked U.S. Christian Fundamentalists Pour Millions of Dark Money into Europe, Boosting the Far Right. I understand that this is sort of this research shows for the first time the extent to which you have this funding from across the Atlantic, from the US to Europe, of these groups. What exactly did the report find? Which are some of the groups here in the United States that are sending millions of dollars to European groups?
So exactly. We looked at 12 Christian right groups. So that's including Alliance Defending Freedom, Heartbeat International, Billy Graham, Evangelistic Association, among many others. And we looked through 10 years of their financial filings, and we found $50 million since 2008, basically. We reviewed hundreds and hundreds of pages of their financial filings, and everyone we've shown this research to in Europe has been extremely shocked. This might actually just be the tip of the iceberg, but MEPs have now, members of the European Parliament have now spoken out and said that there's an urgent need to investigate this more, basically, because these groups haven't previously spoken about what they're funding, who they're funding, but it's clear that there are these connections. There's definitely more investigation to come, and we definitely need to keep an eye on these groups and what they're doing. And I think the important thing as well is to look into what they exactly are spending this money on. What are these millions of dollars actually going to? There is evidence in the past of Alliance Defending Freedom, for instance, and some of these other groups backing kind of anti-gay laws in Africa or anti-abortion laws in Latin America. And so what is it that they're actually doing in Europe? And particularly ahead of the European Parliament elections, which are coming up at the end of May, many of the groups that we have investigated, and many of the groups that have been at the World Congress of Families, have explicitly said that they want to have big wins at the European elections at the end of May.
So just as you've had these organizations here in the United States essentially have access to the White House, we're talking about groups that people like Trump's personal lawyer, Jay Sekulow, is involved in, his one-time advisor, Steve Bannon, is involved in. So these ultra-conservative groups that managed to get a foothold into the White House, they're seeing their counterparts in Europe attempting to do the same thing in Europe, translate their reactionary politics into electoral power?
Yes, exactly. I mean, one of the biggest spenders is a group that we looked at whose chief counsel, as you said, is Trump's personal lawyer, Jay Sekulow. So that is a very interesting link, and it's important to investigate that. I think the really important thing that this shows, actually, is that often these kind of groups, these populist far-right groups, are seen as some kind of voice of the people, or that this is what the people want. But actually what this new research shows is that this dark money shows that, in fact, this is a very elite network. The people that attended the World Congress of Families last weekend were, including aristocrats, royals in Europe, including like Princess Gloria of Germany and Prince Louis from France. So like, these are very wealthy people who are trying to impact on laws and policies that ultimately seek to oppress women and LGBT people.
Is the attack on feminism and the attack on LGBTQ rights their main focus, or does it also expand to things like abortion? Do they have issues? Do they have positions on immigration? What's the sort of political spectrum of issues that they are most interested in?
Yeah, so they quite explicit, I guess, because it's called the World Congress of Families, it has this kind of seemingly innocent name, but actually what they're trying to defend is the natural family, so man, woman, husband, wife. And so their main focus is kind of gay rights, abortion rights, and attacking those things, and what they call gender ideology. So what we're seeing is that increasingly they want to attack the idea that gender is a social construct, basically.
Gender ideology. So it's interesting to see some of the language that these groups, of course, use in their attacks. Here in the United States, we're also seeing these terms come up. We have a transgender military ban. There are attacks on abortion. One state in the U.S. Just banned all abortions, almost all abortions, starting at 6 weeks, which is when most women first discover that they're pregnant. Are you also seeing these sorts of efforts in Europe, the so-called fetal heartbeat laws, type of laws, where there's this assertion that, you know, the second there is something that shows that there might be a heartbeat, that that now it's life and you can't have an abortion. I mean, it sounds like a lot of the same things we see in the United States are being adopted in Europe.
Yeah, precisely. And I think it's important to mention, on the Sunday of the World Congress of Families, there was a very large rally, which they called the March for Life, that started just outside. And that was actually really big. It was full of, banners about kind of the right to life of the fetus and this kind of stuff. And so it's definitely very similar to the US. The other thing is that Forza Nuova, who are the far right, I think they openly call themselves fascist group, in Italy, did a press conference on the Saturday outside the World Congress of Families, and they spoke out about Salvini, the deputy interior minister in Italy, and said he was basically not far right enough because he wasn't calling for an abortion referendum. So this kind of like far right politics, it is increasingly intertwined with these kind of ultra-conservative ideas of abortion and LGBT rights.
Right. So you have these groups that are adopting this reactionary and some would say medieval vision of what a society should be, where, you know, women are subjugated and the nuclear family is central, and those are linked to then the fascist movements, that the authoritarian right-wing tendencies, where they are basically attempting to elect far-right leaders who will then enforce this sort of ideology. And you brought up earlier that among those who came to protest in Verona were groups from Uganda. We know there's been scrutiny over how, at least about a decade ago, American right-wing Christian fundamentalist groups were found to have been the main fuel against the homophobic policies adopted in Uganda. But really, now we're seeing that some of those same trends have been playing out in Europe as well, which is surprising. And you mentioned that there are members of the European Parliament that are really upset about this. What can come out of the report that you did, as well as the gathering in Verona? What sort of action are European leaders hoping to take?
I guess we're hoping that European leaders will speak out against this, and that they will kind of continue to not to adopt the kind of far-right language. I think that's what it is. That's when the battle is lost, if they start becoming a kind of race to the bottom, and they start feeling like they have to say these anti-abortion, anti-gay things to attract votes. And I think that's why this research is so important, because it shows that these groups are elite, and this isn't necessarily what voters want. This is kind of something that's come from outside. This is money that's come from the US and is being pumped into Europe. And it's an elite network. And it's really important that the MEPs spoke out against it as well.
Going back to the research that Open Democracy conducted to show this financial funding from U.S. fundamentalist groups to European groups, I understand that the latest data was that was available went back to 2017, some of it even going as far back as 2014. So it's possible that during the years that Trump has been president in the U.S., that we might even have seen an uptick in funding. Are you hoping to continue this research to see how under Trump, with these groups newly emboldened in the US, that maybe their funding might have even increased to Europe?
Yes, definitely. We're definitely continuing this research. The kind of investigation that we're doing is called Tracking the Backlash. So it's precisely working on this and seeing how these different groups are internationally connected, how Trump in the US, how Bolsonaro in Brazil, how the far right in Hungary, for instance, Poland, how these are all connected. And yes, it sounds likely that things will have, money will have increased since Trump has been in power, but that's yet to be seen. So watch out for Open Democracy, and hopefully there'll be more to come.
With the title of your report was Trump linked U.S. Christian fundamentalists pour millions of dark money into Europe. What does that mean exactly? I mean, I am familiar with our campaign finance laws and funding requirements here in the United States for nonprofit groups. But are there regulations in Europe for how one can accept money from foreign entities? And is this an area that requires greater regulation, or at least transparency?
I'm not entirely sure about the legal situation around that, and I wasn't part of that research section. But I do know that this is definitely something to look at. I know that in the Irish abortion referendum, for instance, they were not allowed, but it was illegal to take foreign money, but there was evidence of US groups then as well, also pumping money into the pumping money to encourage people to vote no in the abortion referendum. Okay. And a lot of that was through Facebook, social media, advertisements, and that kind of those kind of mediums. And so I think definitely that side of things, online side of things, is something to watch out for, because this is definitely new in election and referendum, and a lot of people don't quite know what the legal boundaries are there.
Now, you and I are talking at the time when Britain has been struggling to figure out how to exit from the European Union, more than 2 years after a very contentious vote in which groups, right-wing groups, funded an effort for Britain to leave the European Union. What is the link between the pro-Brexit efforts in Britain and some of these same US-funded European right-wing groups? Are they part of the same family, if you will?
Yes, I guess we don't have any specific research on that yet, but that is definitely something that we will be looking at. I think that basically what it shows is that the discourse has swung to the right in the UK and Europe more widely, and that these kind of far-right, xenophobic, misogynistic groups are using certain language to try and win election and referendum in different ways. Another part of research, the investigation that Open Democracy has been part of, has been looking precisely at these kind of links between the dark money links between in the Vote Leave campaign in the UK. But I wasn't specifically a part of that.
In those European fundamentalist groups that showed up and alongside the US groups in Verona, did you see an emphasis on immigration? I mean, I know not just Britain, but Europe in general has been struggling with an influx of refugees from the global south. Did you see that those were issues that were important to them as well?
Yes, I would say yes. Obviously, these parties are openly fascist and far right, so they were speaking quite explicitly about immigration. I would say that sometimes it was quite implicit, because they're talking about kind of the natural family and how they're kind of implying that it's white Europeans need to, patriotically protect their own Yes, we're not specifically looking at that, but it would be interesting to see. It's all the same groups, basically. It's all the same far-right groups which the US money is funding.
What about Russia? You mentioned Russia earlier, and we didn't get to quite talk about it here in the United States. There's been a huge focus on Russia, of course, with the Trump presidency. And in your report, you mentioned that Franklin Graham, who runs the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, met recently with Kremlin officials that are under U.S. sanctions in a trip that he said was personally signed off by Vice President Michael Pence.
Yes, exactly. But there are definitely Russian links. One of the groups we looked at included a kind of close associate of a Russian oligarch. I think that... The World Congress of Families this year had a huge number of Russian oligarchs, Russian Orthodox Church affiliated people. Again, we haven't specifically investigated this in depth, but this is something that does keep coming up, the Russian connections, and we will need to look at it more in depth in the future. But I think, yeah, it is interesting. It's supposedly one of the reasons that this year there weren't many Polish far-right people that came, for instance, to the World Congress of Families, because there were so many Russian people there. So I think they have their own, wedge issues.
So finally, Nandini, do you hope, just going back to what we started out talking about, which is that there has been some backlash, progressive backlash, liberal backlash to this trend, this troubling trend in Europe. Are you hopeful that with the information that your report has put out, with some potential action from members of the European Parliament, that there will start to be a reversal of this rightward trend that has troubled so many of us, that, you know, sometimes seems to confound logic, that, you know, at a time when we should be moving forward, society seem to be moving backward. Are you hopeful for the future that exposing the elitism of these and the financial links of these groups can set them back?
Yeah, I really do think so. And I think the really refreshing thing about the protests in Verona, as I said, was that they were so international. There was such international solidarity there, and there was such a recognition from the feminist activists that this was a common issue everywhere, and that they were all facing a backlash to women's and LGBT rights in their own countries, and that there was a need to unite. If the backlash is international, then their resistance also needs to be international. And many of them were very vocal about this just being the beginning, and that there are going to be many more meetings, hopefully, this year. There were activists talking about a women's strike in Switzerland, another thing happening in the UK, and that they're going to invite feminist activists to come from there, to come there to support them. And I think also it's not just kind of grassroots activists, it's also journalists, it's also kind of people that work in NGOs. There's definitely a resistance happening, and I hope that by emphasizing elitism, all of it, we really will make some headway and just open up the discussion a bit.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll link to the report on opendemocracy.net from our website. Good luck to you, Nandini.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
My guest has been Nandini Archer. She is an editorial assistant with Open Democracy. She also works with the International Campaign for Women's Right to Safe Abortion. She's an active member of the feminist direct action group Sisters Uncut. We've been discussing a new report by Open Democracy on how American Christian fundamentalist groups are fueling fundamentalism in Europe. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.